And good afternoon. No, I don't know.
Okay.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now.
And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards. And today is a good day in August 2010. And today I'm really pleased to be back with guests. You've been very patient with me, listening to me give you my take on things for the last couple of weeks. But today we are back on track with our series of interviews with the African Community Network. Mm-hmm. And our guests today are from the West African nation of Senegal. And I would like to introduce you to Fatou Ndoye and Mohamedou Fall, mm-hmm. and Sheikh Ibrahima Niang. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Good, good. All right. Just a quick reminder to everyone that this show is brought to you as a production of the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. And we come to you every Monday from 12 to 12:30 here on WRAR 97.3 Low Power FM Radio, Richmond's radio for the rest of us. And as I said, today we're going to be talking about the West African nation of Senegal. I think as we chatted a little before we went on the air, we talked about the fact that most Americans, if they have heard of Senegal, have some general idea maybe where it is, but most people have heard of the port of Gore, the island of Gore, where Africans were kept until they were put on ships and sent over to the New World to be enslaved. And therefore, as we talked about with Mali and many other places on the West African coast, most of us here in the United States who are of African ancestry can link ourselves back probably to one or the other of the nations. It's difficult to pinpoint exactly which ones, but I think sometimes you feel an affinity for one or the other. And it's very good to be able to bring this series to Americans for them to get an introduction to the different countries so that they don't think of Africa as one big solid country, which it is not. It is a continent, just like the North American continent. So it seems silly in a way. It's very basic geography. Just look at a map, right? Mm-hmm. And I think 53 nations?
Yeah.
Is that
53,
right?
Yes.
53. So anyway, so let's go ahead and roll into it, and let's start with the first question, which is, where is Senegal?
Okay. I believe for that we're going to allow Fatou maybe to a little bit to talk about the location that he has on her paper.
give us the data. You have the statistics. Yeah. Go ahead.
Senegal is African country, and it's in the western of Africa, and then bordered the North Atlantic Ocean in between Guinea-Bissau and Mauritania.
That's right.
So,
okay, and
let's just say that, like, on the eastern part, it is Mali.
That's right. Uh-huh. On the eastern border is Mali. That's
right.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And therefore, given the proximity to Mauritania and Mali and Guinea-Bissau, I suppose, then it was at one point a French colony, and therefore one of the major languages is French.
French.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, actually it was a French colony, because the Senegal have his independence in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it was all the French colonies that they put together, including the French Sudanese colonies, to call the Mali, mm-hmm. Federation of Mali.
That's right.
And what happened is the Federation of Mali didn't take too long, because actually a month after the independence, that's when they really collapsed. And Senegal went to his own, and pretty much most of these countries went to their own.
That's right.
But I think that was in 89 that we had... we had this federation with Gambia, because mm-hmm. if you pay attention to the map, Gambia is in the middle of Senegal.
It's like just a little slice.
It's just like a city inside Senegal, or a region inside Senegal.
Yeah.
So we had that confederation also, but ended up breaking up in 1994. Mm-hmm. And what was complicated, what bring all these problems was that also Gambia was an English colony.
Oh, no kidding.
And Senegal is a French colony.
Right.
And Gambia is in the middle of Senegal, so that really...
It seems like that's one of the traits, right?
Is exactly,
that divide.
Keep, exactly.
Keep everything broken up. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's the population of Senegal now?
Actually, the population of Senegal
is... 14 million.
Yeah, it's about 14 million.
Okay.
Just close to an American state. Pretty much. Some American states
have
14 million.
Yeah, people. Yeah.
And Senegal is not also that big. It's just a little country, like pretty much kind of size of South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So that make it like a small country.
Sure.
Yeah.
And 40 million. And is a lot of that population, has it moved to the major cities, or is it still very rural?
Yeah, let's say that a little bit close to really half of the population, you know, living right now in the cities, you know, but we still have really the vast majority living in the countryside.
Yeah.
You know, most of them doing agriculture.
Mm-hmm. So farming.
And
is there I haven't followed the Niger River very far west, but is there a major river that runs through Senegal the way that the Niger runs through Mali?
Yes, we have pretty much some few rivers. The longest one is the one that bears the same name, Senegal.
Ah, okay.
You know, Senegal taking river. Its source from Guinea all the way to the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. Okay.
And we have also some medium-sized rivers like Casamance River, the Gambia River itself, and Saloum and Sine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that are really actively running.
And are they deep enough rivers that they're used for transport, for trade?
Pretty much deep.
Deep water.
Like, I know that like at this time, they have a contract with the Republic of China, just trying to redo the Saloum River.
Okay.
So that you can like accommodate bigger boats.
I see.
Yeah, they are working on that right now.
Okay, okay. So so tell me a little bit about where each of you is from. I know Mahamadou, you and Fatou are from Dakar. And are you from the same parts of Dakar? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah,
Dakar is a big city.
Dakar is a big city. I think it's the biggest city in Senegal.
Mm-hmm.
And it have also close to a quarter of the population.
Okay.
It's like pretty much like a quarter of the population is in Dakar.
Yeah.
And that's why we call it like a agglomeration in French. Calls agglomeration, like where like a lot of people came and you know,
right.
And also we have Dakar have also one of the biggest airport in Africa, in West Africa,
okay,
and also the biggest port in Africa.
Actually,
the port of Dakar is right now managed by Dubai. After a contract that we signed with them for them to modernize it and all that.
Yeah. I think they signed a contract to manage Norfolk.
Yeah, they managed
in
Norfolk.
The last
yeah,
of
they
years.
Managed
yeah.
in Dakar yeah. and also tried to modernize it and all that. And we also have that airport, like I say, that is an international airport known internationally.
Right, so it's a real destination, Dakar.
Yeah.
People come there as a starting point for travel in Africa
exactly.
as well as to Senegal.
Yeah.
And one of the things, of course, like I mentioned before, Gorée Island is a big draw, certainly for African Americans coming to the U.S.
Yeah.
So, I mean, coming to visit Senegal.
Yeah, because Gorée Island is pretty much where slave was coming from. Because slave that they have all around West Africa was united into Gorée Island for them to be ready to ship in America. And all the other in Portugal, Spain, and all the other places.
That's right.
So that make it historic also, because that's the pretty much the most historic island in Africa, in West Africa.
Right.
For
right.
just being a place where a slave was transiting to go everywhere else in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite a...
Yeah, it is good law, so to say that they were really free Africans. They became slaves only once they crossed
exactly
the Atlantic Ocean.
So that's a very good point, because people tend to want to say, you know, we took slaves from Africa, when that's not it's not true at all.
Yes, that is a very important point, really, to, you know, clear up, because since they were really free Africans.
Yeah, okay. I've just been reading a book called The Black Jacobins. And it's the, you know, it's the story of the Haitian Revolution.
Yes.
And one of the points that comes through very clearly is that the people living and thriving in Haiti was not really how it worked. They were importing Africans on such an enormous rate that all of those who were involved in the revolution, in the insurrection, in the you know, who were the fighters, they were Africans. They were, you know, they had not been born, they were not generations into being, you know, Haitians. They were they were Africans, and therefore they brought with them what they knew, you know, and they were very much, as you say, they were free people.
Definitely.
And so I imagine that the spirit of them to fight and to resist was probably much stronger. They had not been sort of adapted into the traditions of being enslaved people.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
The position of Dakar, that's what make it really this. Back in the day, it used to be the capital of the West Africa.
Yeah. Okay.
Like pretty much one of the biggest city of West Africa.
Right. Right.
Because it was like the position where it is on West Africa, pretty much like I used to tell to people, the last country on the west side of Africa.
And from the other perspective, it's the first country that, you know, you would encounter coming from
exactly,
you know, coming from the from the west. So it's very interesting, because when we talk about Mali in terms of trade and emphasis, it's about the inland, you know, the interior access, and of course cities like Timbuktu and Mopti being real port cities and real draws for trade, you know, from the Sahara, through the Sahara, and so to talk about the Atlantic and what that meant as a starting point for contact with Africa, but also for Africans out, because of course now we're hearing stories about it's education is a wonderful thing, and they're starting to more and more is being learned about the, you know, the history of Africa and how much exploration Africans did, you know, outside of Africa as well. And that's, unfortunately, that's something that people need to learn in order to understand that, you know, Africans were had empires and were explorers and just as curious about the world as anywhere else, as we find out that China, you know, made it to Mexico, and that there were Africans at some point in Mexico. It's very clear when you look at the history of their artwork.
Most definitely.
You know.
Because those are very important elements to really to pinpoint, since you know, Africa is not only the birthplace of humanity, but also the cradle of civilization as we know it.
Right, right.
Since they have created in Egypt
a
good foundation for sciences.
Yeah.
And those explorations that they did, it was for the purpose of exploring the universe.
Exactly.
They had like the pyramids in Egypt to explore the universe. And from there, they came with the revolution of the Earth, lasting like 365 days and a quarter.
The contributions to the calendar.
And they came also with the discovery of pi equal 3.14. Upon which they have built the pyramids, and that is why the pyramids are still standing. And from there, they had to send some other Africans to like come to Mexico, and over there they build some pyramids.
They did, yeah.
And it is one pyramid that have like 365 steps, because they build it for the purpose of better observe the universe.
Gotcha.
Those are very important things, really, to know that, you know, the exploration that they were doing, it was just to have a better understanding of our universe.
Right. Answering the questions why and how.
Yes.
Very interesting. Now, Fatou, tell me a little bit about your part of Dakar and your experience.
I was born in there, and then I live not far from the ocean. I can say like five blocks from my house.
Okay.
So I used to play softball, volleyball, and I used to have a lot of friends, like, at the beach.
At the beach, yeah.
And what I really miss is the beach, because I used to have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how long have you been in the United States?
8 years.
8 years. Uh-huh. Okay. And it seems like yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can tell. Uh-huh. And what are you doing here?
Actually, the type of job I'm doing is just hairdressing.
Uh-huh.
Like the braiding.
Yes.
And it's
very famous in Richmond, Senegalese yes. braiding. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's at least something that we can show people. It's our tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just going to tell the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I start braiding, really braiding in here. But naturally, an African woman should know how to do her hair.
Yeah.
Okay. It's something, it's a tradition.
Okay.
So it's a tradition. So.
But you didn't start really until you, is that until you got here?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, did you come by yourself? Did you come with your family?
I came by myself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not supposed to ask people how old they are.
So. They created the Senegalese twist.
The Senegalese twist.
So everybody needs to know that the Senegalese twist
uh-huh.
come from Senegal.
Okay.
We created it.
All right.
Because it's all over the world now. Everywhere you go in America, they talk about the Senegalese twist. That hair braiding style that they have.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to get a picture and put it on the website
yeah.
so people can see. We talked about the yeah. Senegalese twist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Now, did you, we can, I suppose we can sort of flow into that. I mean, I would love to spend a show dedicated to the history of Senegal. And I think what I'm going to have to do is develop this secondary series. Because now I want to, you know, it's good to sort of go back and bring it forward.
Yeah.
It helps people get a sort of a sense of things. But another time I really would like to get into the history of Senegal and bring it forward. Mm-hmm. Because really, aside from, I mean, I'm glad that you brought up those, the contributions through Egypt in terms of Africa as a continent as a whole, but it would be good to also understand some of the history of Senegal. As you say, up until the point at which it became part of the French colonial empire, because there's all of that, you know, history that we don't know. What I'd like to talk about now, I think, is just to sort of get you each to, like we just did with Fatou, talk a little bit about when you came, why you came, and then what some of your experiences have been since you've been here. And so you've given us a good start to that. And then I want to come back and get you to talk a little bit about being a woman in this dynamic, because it's always different. The experience of men and the experience of women is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to?
Yeah, because when you come over here, first of all, you already got the opportunity to work.
Yeah.
Because the braiding we do
yes.
is something that we really know
yes.
from back home.
Yes.
And when you come over here, it's already opportunity to earn money.
Right, right.
But still, it's different than what men can find here when they come over here. They have to do any kind of job different than what they used to do back home.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah, so that's it's interesting because it's an opportunity that it's set in a way for you to do that. But you guys got to find your way because mm-hmm. you know that's how it is for men. They just got to find their way, right?
That is true.
Did you come for school? Did you come for jobs? Did you
myself? Really, I have been acquainted with some African Americans back there in Senegal because it was a commemoration of the passing of a great Senegalese scholar.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Cheikh Anta Diop.
Yes, yeah.
And when they came, we got acquainted there, and I was also dealing with some artworks, and they invited me to come here. And that is what made me come back in 1991.
Okay.
So I was first stationed in Delaware.
Okay.
Where they are really good people of mine.
Yes.
Yeah, I enjoy them pretty much. they've been helping me. They have helped me a lot, really, to readjust.
Yeah,
here in
it's
the
a
US
big adjustment
because it is a
very
new environment for me, and I really have to thank them very much so for having helped me really to find my ways.
Yeah. What were some of the challenges?
The first one was the language.
Sure.
You know, in Senegal, we speak our African language, which is Wolof. Some people, we have other languages besides Wolof, as African languages.
Mm-hmm.
We speak also French.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come here, the first challenge is a language.
Right.
We have to adjust at that level.
English, and then it's American English.
American English. We don't know even British English anyway.
Yeah.
So it was really the bigger challenge, you know, but... we're human, you know, and we find other human being here, so they're helpful,
right?
And really, slowly but surely, we got really our ways,
yeah.
Found our pathway, and here we are.
It's usually about people
definitely
being able to help and show you a way, and then you establish yourself, you carve out your.
That is true.
Your thing. Were you going to add something?
I was going to say that even if you got a chance to learn English back home, when you come over here, it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
Because a British accent and the American accent are
very
really
different
from each other. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And Mohamedou?
Me, I'm your typical migrant. Just we have the American dream. We was dreaming like the American dream, being in Africa.
You thought we had gold on the streets.
I told you I had everything. I mean, like everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know how it is, though. When you get here, that's when you're gonna find out that, oh, it's just somewhere that you gotta. But what you have more is job.
Uh-huh.
We came out here really looking for work.
Right.
Because I've been with friends that have their master's degrees for years and didn't find a job in Senegal.
Right.
Still didn't find a job.
Yeah.
And a lot of people out there have their master degrees, other degrees, or have knowledge on something, or did some other work, but they couldn't really
practice what they learned.
Do it. Yeah. You can do what you learn because you really cannot have a job.
Yeah.
And that was really one of the biggest problems. That's why really we here.
Yeah.
Because if we could find everything that we can find here, as far like let's say just if we could find jobs in Africa, we probably aren't gonna be here right now.
Sure.
You know, that's what really bring me here.
Yeah.
But what I see is that America is a little different because this is the only place where I come, they have to train you on everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you have to have a degree to do something to do it. Over here, you come, they'll train you on something that they think you'll be able to. If you do well on that, it can be your job.
Okay.
And I think that's the way that we're probably going to be thinking on this 21st century right now.
Because
in Senegal, when you go over there, majority of young people have degrees. But they're waiting for a job that requires a degree.
Yeah, sure.
And majority of the jobs didn't require for you to have a degree, really.
Yeah.
And that's the real problem that we're going through right now.
And it's interesting because from the American perspective, what Americans are going through is that we're losing jobs at such a rate that, you know, we've got people who have master's degrees and PhDs, and instead of working in their field, they're working in bookstores and they're working in fast food. It's hard for, I was going to say until last week, for my son who's 18, he's just graduated and was starting to look for work. And he just couldn't get any response whatsoever because there's so many people looking for the competition for jobs is so high that, you know, it didn't look like he was going to, you know, find something. And then he got lucky and he did find something. Mm-hmm. But more and more, that's what, you know, we hear from the perspective of, and I think it goes back to expectations. What is it that Americans expect, you know, from their economy, from the previous generation? You know, that's what we call the greatest generation is because they had from after World War II on, it was like nothing but growth and nothing but opportunity was available.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was what permeated throughout the world was that in America, everything was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, it still is. In some ways, you come, you have to adjust a lot and change your expectations a little bit.
But, exactly.
But that you're finding ways in, and you're finding ways to those jobs, but still encountering, I think, the same challenges with a degree. And, you know, again, you're getting an education, a higher education, because everyone says you should do that. And yet, still, it's difficult to find jobs for that.
In America, they'll give you a shot. That's the thing, they'll give you a shot.
You'll
get a shot. And also, you know, if we go through all that also, it's about the way the people govern our countries too. Because everybody know that we have corruption in, in Africa.
Sure.
The way they govern the country is just like a chaos over there.
Yeah.
So that also contribute for us that want something, that have dreams, thinking that, oh, this is too small for my dreams. Oh, no, I can't realize my dreams in here. How about go ahead and realize it somewhere else? Because majority of Senegalese overseas, they're in Europe. They're not in America.
That's right.
Because like they say in the beginning, we having our first problem is the language.
Right.
Because it's going to take us a year or two just to adapt, just to start understanding what people are talking about.
Because
I remember working in a restaurant where I didn't even understand what they're talking about. I was just smart. To just see the person talking, and I can wonder, oh, he's probably talking about this.
Yeah.
So I just go ahead and find things that I think they gonna. That's where I really learn.
Start learning.
And once we get here also, we meet women out here that we can speak to and learn English. Like a lot of our friends out here married to American women, and I think we was talking about it, Fado and me, when it was just coming out here. I was telling her, I need to just, you know, open up a little bit. There is some good Americans out here that can marry, you know, because, you know, that's the real problem for the woman, you know. Women have that problem in here,
because
we have our women that really, they're not really integrated in the society,
So marriage is one way to do that, to marry an
American.
That's
a way to integrate in the society.
Yeah, sure,
you know? Yeah, because once you get married, having kids and all that, you're integrated already, you know.
Okay, well, I've just been given the signal that we've only got 2 minutes left, because this goes so quickly. So we have to, we're going to have a show that's going to be all about women's issues, because there's always this interesting thing that goes back and forth when the men are talking about the women, and, you know, it's like, what's going on? So do you want to throw anything in here in this 1 minute before we
take off? Just to say that it is really a great opportunity to come here and do a presentation of our country. So, but just quickly, since it is not too long, we just have to say that, you know, the population of Senegal, as we said, was about, 12 million, something like that. And with different ethnic groups in Senegal.
Yes.
And as far as religion, we have 95% of the Senegalese who are Muslim.
Yes.
And a little bit about like 4% of Christians.
Yeah.
And 1% maybe still doing the traditional religion.
Yeah.
But which the traditional religion is present all over anyway.
Right.
Even though we can count 1%.
Yeah.
Even the Muslim Christians, they still have something that have a lot to do with our, you know, tradition.
Right, right.
So, but Senegal is a peaceful country.
Yeah.
We don't have, like, those problems between religion or ethnic groups.
The strife
We can enjoy some kind of harmony and peace, really, within the differences.
Right, right.
So, which is really something.
No, I think that's. I think it's good that you brought that up, because it is important to sort of stop people in their tracks if they're going to be thinking that that every country in Africa is, you know, strife ridden and in conflict. And I'm so sorry that I have to draw the show to a close, but I do. But I want to thank each of you for being with me today giving us this brief introduction to Senegal. And I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. And we will be with you again next week, and we will bring you more, because there's so much more we need to know. So keep up the struggle, and remember that kindness is a strength, and that it does matter. And we will talk next week. Thanks. ¶¶
talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.